morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, and good morning to Hebrew Nation Radio. This is Gus, and I'm flying solo on the three wise guys here this morning on the morning show. Gosh, we've got snow in the Willamette Valley here in the beautiful state of Oregon. And Roland lives up in the mountains, so he is de-icing the car and cutting back on the snow that's surrounding both he and his wife's vehicles. And our brother Rick, he is blessed because he's got grandkids that he's taking care of today. So Roland will join us shortly, and I want to welcome you and thank you so much for tuning in. We and the Wise Guys have conversations every Tuesday morning from 8 to 10 Pacific time. Now, I realize that some people, well, you listen by podcast, and so it isn't live, and you can listen anytime you'd like. Well, that really helps those of you that don't have the time to listen during this live portion. And, gosh, you know, you can be in the reading room, as you would call it, or you could be driving down the road and you've got your Bluetooth headset plugged in and listening to a podcast there. You know, we show up on all sorts of different podcasting type applications and software websites, etc. out there. But you can tune in to HebrewNationOnline.com. And that's where you can get us most consistently, all of our back conversations. You know, we've been doing this for, gosh, almost 5 years now. It's amazing how fast time goes. And, you know, I look back 4.5 years and thinking, well, what are we going to talk about today? How is the creator of the universe going to lead us today? And true to almost all of our conversations every week, we tend to look at each other and shake our heads and go, gee, I don't know. Let's pray. So, Father, that's, boy, you know, I'm going to start off, and listen, even by the way I started to address it, I started praying even before I announced I was going to. But let's go there now. So take a moment. If you're not driving, kind of put a pause on everything else and yeah, let's turn it over to him. Father Yahweh, we are so grateful for your provision. You know, we've got so many issues in the world today, and we ask you to help us to prioritize, to help us understand what those things are that are important to you. We have our own little ideas. We have our own little, feelings about what we should be doing. May we listen to you. And in this day of wintry bliss up here in the Pacific Northwest of the United States and elsewhere where it's been very, very cold, we ask you to warm people from the inside out, starting with spirit and soul and then moving to the physical, because we know you want us to have abundance, abundance in spirit, abundance in the physical, abundance in relationship with each other and with you to begin with. We love you. We thank you for the time that you give us to talk with one another, to learn about your word, to learn about each other. And I ask you to bless Roland on his trip down from the mountain through the snow, and Rick with his grandkids, both he and his wife Jill, that they enjoy the time with them and raise up the next generation in the way that they should go. Speaking of things when they lie down and rise up and when they walk by the way. We thank you so much through the promise we have in Yeshua Messiah. Amen. So this will be a little bit of a different kind of a start to today. And normally we pose a question, but let's start by posing just some ideas and thinking about, you know, what's going on in the world around us. We've already talked about the weather and how there's been this Arctic vortex. I don't remember seeing that they named this storm, but they seem now to name storms because that makes more impact. You know, let's breaking news. Let's take a look at the next major storm. This is Storm, I don't know, Willie or Eber or whatever it is. And somehow that makes it more personal and more impactful. Well, gosh, you know, I think back 30, 40, oh, I even hesitate to say 50 years ago, and they never named the storm. Sure, hurricanes at some point got named, but really, the snowstorm? Snowstorm, you know, I don't know, Ebenezer, somebody. It's just to have more impact and to shift maybe our focus from what's really important to those things that are less important or maybe worldly important. I don't know. I don't know how you feel out there about it, but today's call-in number, as it is every week now, is different than what you hear on the introductions. Our number here is 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. And we ask for your calls because this is a two-way, three-way, four-way, however many way we want to make it, however many ways Yahweh wants to make it, conversation about the topic at hand. So during my prayer, you might have heard the word priority. How do we determine what the priorities are in our lives? How do we determine what the priority is that the creator of the universe wants us to focus on? I mean, let's face it, we've got all sorts of issues in life, right? Just the mundanity, the ordinariness of life. To start with, I've got to have a place for shelter. Housing is an issue. Think about that relative to those folks that aren't so fortunate and might be living on the street, especially when it's so incredibly cold outside right now. Well, let's think about also those things like, food. We need food. We need air. We need water. Those are some of the necessities. And so if we have shelter, food, air, and water, well, we're off to a pretty good start, aren't we? Seems to me somewhere in some book, gosh, I wonder where that would be. Some book says that, you know, look at the sparrows, look at the lilies, and how the Father clothes them. So why do we worry? Why do we have concerns about what we do? And, you know, I thought just for fun, it might be a whole lot of, let's see, maybe that's not the way to start it, but maybe we look at it like this. Turn to Luke with me, if you would. Luke 12, and we're going to jump down to verse 22. So Luke 12, 22, and as you're turning there, you know, we're talking about priorities. How do we determine what our priority should be, what the creator of the universe wants our priorities to be, not just this year, because some at the beginning of the Gregorian year, 2019, said, well, I'm going to make certain commitments to this year. I'm going to lose weight. Oh, I'm going to be reading more books. I'm going to be nicer to people. Well, why do we have to wait till this calendar event to go into that mode? Shouldn't we instead maybe be thinking about these things along the way and not worrying about the problems around us? I mean, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, and we'll talk about some of that as we go on. So Luke 12, verse 22, and I'm going to read out of the NIV, and the reason I am is it's the fifth grade education level reading standard. Now, that's not to say that I can't read more than a fifth grade level, although some would argue I have a hard time with kindergarten English. Though, this is plain to understand, although in my own humble opinion, the nearly inspired version does leave some things to be desired. There are some changes, and so we should all be good Bereans and study our scripture. We should dig into the word. We should study to show ourselves approved. So Luke 12, 22. Then he said to his disciples, now this is Yeshua speaking, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow, there is a lot to unpack. Now, in just a quick overview, we can say, hey, we aren't supposed to worry. Done. Next topic. Let's move on. But isn't there a whole lot more there? Doesn't he talk about priorities? I think he does. As we dig into it, he's talking about, well, what would you say? Maybe spiritual things. Maybe the world around us would say, you know, you are a spiritual being, so therefore be spiritual. Well, what does the word spiritual mean even? I mean, to the world, it means something completely different than it does to people of biblical faith. So I'm lumping the world into everybody outside of biblical faith. Now, that could be a whole other topic, and I'm sure Roland would be laughing right now and saying, yeah, we'll get back to that one later. But, so biblical faith and world and kingdom, if we are to be spiritual, is that something that we do or something that comes upon us? Is it a two-way street where we are prioritizing what we believe to be capital T truth? Excellent question. Well, let's take a look at some of the words involved here. Now, normally, we'll have three different versions running. So Rick's got, I don't know, I'm going to guess it's the ESV. I could be wrong, but maybe it's that, or maybe the King James newer translation. Roland runs out of the King Jimmy, and I normally will be looking, starting with the scriptures. So if I go down to Luke 12, and I'm jumping down here too, I'm scrolling. You know, that's the thing about having a hard copy of scripture in front of me, the Bible, and then having a soft copy, one on the phone. Now I call it the stupid little smartphone. This thing does tend to run our lives because every little bleep and burp and squawk it makes, we turn to it and our fingers start, you know, frantically looking to who sent us a message. Kind of takes us away from other priorities. Oh, that's intriguing. Okay, so anyway, back to a little bit of a digression. Let me go back to my stupid smartphone here and move down to the bottom of what we were reading. So in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. So earlier he's talking about, gosh, you know, don't worry about what you got to eat. Food? Hey, yeah, that's going to be given to you. Don't worry so much about what you wear. Don't worry about those things. Well, as we started out talking about, if those are the basics of life, don't I need those things? So therefore, don't I have to, in my own power, go out and earn them, pull myself up by my bootstraps and get out there and take care of business? You know, there is an aspect of that, right? We can't sit on our laurels. Now, I don't even know where my laurels are. I'm going to have to ask a doctor about sitting on my laurels. I've got a rough idea, But I don't want to be sitting on my laurels or thumbs or whatever you want to say there. I do want to take action because we have to realize, right, that his word doesn't sit idle. It doesn't return void. We don't sit and wait and listen for the Lord, and then he takes care of everything, and we stay on our little mountaintop or in our valley or on our laurels. No, it calls us to action, just like the Shema, Shema being a Hebrew word, to hear. And that Hebrew concept, for those of you that aren't familiar, is hearing is something I know you did by observing your actions. That's rather interesting because in the Greek approach, and we'll use Western Greco-Roman, it's an intellectual pursuit. I heard you, the sound, as we've talked about many times, the sound went in my ear, and I listened, and I heard you. But many times I go about doing my business as if nothing changed. And Yahweh, through Messiah, through his Spirit, really emphasizes that we need to change. We need to, as we talked about last week in discussing the word Hebrew, we need to cross over into something else, cross over into a different understanding, a different action. So when we talk about, hey, let's hear this and let's do something, that do something starts with hearing, doesn't it? Well, there's that Spirit. We have to be discerning and listening to the Spirit. So beyond listening, I do take action. My body, my actions show that what I heard actually permeated at least a little bit of that gray matter up in my noggin, right? And let's hope there's enough gray matter there for me to continue on doing what I need to do. Well, what is it that I need to do? What are my priorities? Are my priorities, similar to what? And you have to excuse me. I'm looking across, you know, I'm this age where I've got to wear glasses for, I don't know, things up close, things far away. And there's this sweet spot. And currently I had my glasses on and I'm looking across, I'm sitting over where Roland normally does here at the control board. And I'm looking across at my computer and it was this amorphous, it looked like a bunch of snowflakes had fallen on my face. So I took my glasses off and oh, there's the world. So let me go over here just a second and take a look at what others say are the most important things. And I'm going to take a list that the World Economic Foundation, I think it is, I'd have to double check that here in a little bit, says are important. And this specifically is according to the, not the youngest generation, but the one coming into maturity now, the millennials. So we're going to work this backwards. Instead of starting with number one, we're going to go with number 10. So what do you think the number 10th most important thing is to millennials right now? This is world's most serious problems. Lack of economic opportunity and employment. Okay, fair enough. Kind of down low on the list. It's not bigger than some more personal items, but that's pretty important. Number 9, safety, security, and well-being. Now, I would have thought that would have been higher on the list. Okay. Number 8, lack of education. So I'd rather be educated and unsafe? Is that what I'm? Maybe not. Maybe that's just me. Number 7, food and water security. Okay. Now, we can probably, as human beings, all agree, hey, we need food and water. We need clean, safe food and water. And enough at least to survive on. Number 6, government accountability and transparency or corruption. Nearly 22.7, let's see, so nearly 25% of millennials surveyed said, hey, government, it's more important than lack of education, food, or safety. Number 5, religious conflicts. I would be interested to find out what exactly they mean by religious conflicts. Number 4, poverty. Now, we could relate that back to food and water security, but I believe, once again, we'd have to look into it, but I believe they're talking about financial poverty. Number 3, inequality. Everything's got to be fair. Number three on the list, 30%, almost a third of millennials, and this is, I think, 31,000 18 to 35-year-olds across 186 countries. So this isn't just Salem, Oregon. This isn't just the state of Oregon. It's not the Pacific Northwest, nor the United States. We're talking about the entire world. 31,000 18 to 35-year-olds, the millennials. These are the top 10 most concerning world issues. And now we're up to number two. Drum roll, please. Large-scale conflict, wars. Okay, I get that. That goes along with safety. That if war comes up, that disrupts everything, causes severe trauma. It causes heartache. Yeah, war, bad thing. You know, bad people, bad. Shame on you. Number one. Here it is. Number one, this is the most important thing. Nearly half of all millennials think this is our biggest problem. You probably already know what it is. Climate change. Let that sink in for a second. Climate change. Seriously. That's more important than food or water or security or war or poverty or inequality. Wait a minute. Could it be? And I'm just posing this. I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy behind a microphone right now waiting for his buddy to get here. Could it be that maybe our millennial generation has their priorities a little mixed up? Well, and let me extend that farther because I don't want to discriminate by any sense. I want to be fair about it. Number three, baby boomers, I'm speaking to my own generation here. Do we really have our priorities straight? Boy, I'm thinking back over my lifetime and the rampant capitalistic corporate culture and how people are taken advantage of in that area at times. I think about the wars. I think about the political strife. I think about how right has become wrong and wrong has become right. And taking the life of an innocent baby, that's actually less worse than running over a cat. Unbelievable. I think we've got our priorities mixed up. And when we come back from the break, which will start up in about a minute or so, we're going to talk about that because we need to dig into what priorities are, what our priorities are. How do we determine the priorities of the creator of the universe? And if he is not our greatest priority, if the kingdom, if eternity is not our greatest priority, maybe we need to revisit where our priorities really lie. Because I do remember this saying, once again, famous book, what are the most two important commands? Love God and love your neighbor. We need to do that. Well, okay, that's important, but how do we do that? How do we discern amongst the cacophony of other things vying for our attention and our time? How do we do that? Wow, I don't know, other than getting into the book. Once again, we do need to talk about that. And I think what we can do is chew on it. We can dig into the Hebrew a little bit. We can see what Father's Word says about that. So as we wrap up and get ready to go into that break, think about that. Consider how your life is looking in terms of priority and get ready to call after the break. And remember, you can call at 503-589-1220. We're also reachable on email. The number three wiseguys at HebrewNation.net. So there are a number of ways to get a hold of us. All righty. We will be back in just a little bit as that music starts to play. And you know what? I'm thinking that there are a lot of you out there that'll keep turning towards the Word. It'll keep turning toward each other. And we'll see how things go. Be right back.
Shadow of death to the light. We are our way. listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, and welcome back to the Three Wise Guys Minus Two. I'm not a strong mathematician, but if I hold up one hand and I start looking, okay, three minus two, that equals 0.5 brain cells here in Three Wise Guys language. You are listening to the Three Wise Guys conversation this morning, February, gosh, what is it, the 5th of February already, 2019. You know, I think about 2020 used to seem like so far away, and it's less than a year away, 2020. I wonder if we'll have 2020 vision in hindsight, which it seems like the saying goes that that's the only time we really do have it. Now, I'm talking about figurative, not literal. As we think about priorities, if I look back on my life, I have an easier time of adjusting my view, my understanding of, well, what should have been priorities and maybe what should not have been. Well, no maybe about it. Definitely things that have not been priorities. You know, I get this Christian healthcare newsletter. I'm a member of Samaritan Ministries. And Samaritan Ministries, for those of you that don't know, we've had them on the conversation, I think two, maybe even three times over the last 5 years. And they offer an alternative to health insurance. In fact, it isn't insurance. It's MediShare, as the terminology goes. That means that I get a notice that one of my brothers or sisters or family or whoever in the United States has a medical concern, and the Samaritan Ministries folks coordinate my payment to that person. They say, here's where you send your share this month. That's a whole different story than, hey, pay this insurance company some money so they can make a profit and then fight you and deny you when you try to get your money back from an issue, when you file a claim. I don't know if anybody else has had that. But anyway, I digress, because the Christian healthcare newsletter that comes out each month, I still get it hard copy. I guess from that standpoint, I'm a little bit old school. But they always have great articles in here. And I thought it was relevant to the conversation on priority. That's a question posed in the first segment today in our conversation of, you know, what are our priorities? How do we establish priorities? How do we make sure that our priorities as human beings, as people that, going beyond the human being aspect, are people of faith, going beyond just faith, and we're people of faith in the one God and the one God of the Bible that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, our forefathers. Because after all, as we mentioned last week, we are Hebrews. I know, kind of a tough concept sometimes for folks to understand, but yeah, listen to last week's conversation, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again in the future. Anyway, point being, I could go on and on forever and then never really say anything. That's that half a brain cell I was talking about earlier. So the Christian Healthcare Newsletter from Samaritan Ministries, they have an article about a new study that's championing Medicare for all. So Bernie Sanders, he was a presidential nominee back in the last, was it last election or the one before? I think he's tried to run a bunch of times, but he's the socialist. And a lot of the millennials really identify with his approach of social equity. You know, it's level the playing field. Well, he has this Medicare for all idea. Well, that's something that seems to be very important because it keeps coming up in the news and people talk about it a lot. And those public officials, now I hesitate to say public servant, right? It used to be that that was their goal, to serve the public, but it's really become the other way around, it seems. Bernie Sanders says, hey, we all need Medicare. In fact, should be for everybody. And guess what? We can increase the spending while we reduce the cost, and everybody can have health care. Hold it. Did that sound like an oxymoron to you? Sure did to me. Because this Medicare for All proposal says that, gosh, he's going to be able to reduce health spending by $5.11 trillion while giving health care to everybody. Yeah, it's magical thinking. It's kind of a curiosity. Point being, Medicare, medical, healthcare expenses, that's one of the priorities. If I turn to another page, and I see this all the time, in fact, it's poignant for my wife and I, because how you eat, well, Rick is fond of saying garbage in, garbage out. And that's whether you're typing on a computer, you know, no matter what it is, feeding your brain or feeding your body. Roland is a health coach, and he and his wife coach people to better health. And he had a conversation for a show for many years. He and his wife, body health. What aren't you asking? There was some question about it. But anyway, point being, here's another topic within this little publication. You become what you eat. Have you seen the preponderance of organic foods out on the supermarket shelves? Safeway, Safeway stores here in the West, and I think they've expanded greatly. They have a much larger organic section because that's become important to people. So what we eat is important. I turn to another page, and here we're talking about adoption rather than abortion. Abortion, that's killing babies. But, you know, let's just call it what it is. It's not pro-choice. Yeah, we couch things in very comfortable, politically correct statements. And then, well, our priorities change because the words change. All right, let's turn the page again. Beating the odds against sugar processed food. Here's another one on health. Let's see, the right side of history. This is a fascinating article by Ben Zorns, who actually attends the same fellowship, same church up in Moscow, Idaho, as the Ben Sumter we had. Ben? That doesn't sound right. Toby, I'm sorry, Toby Sumter, who we had on a few weeks ago. And he talks about, are we looking at history? And this gets more to our topic of priority. You're probably wondering, where in the world is Gus going on this darn thing? He talks about how we view history from a very specific point in little timeline, and how can we be so, and this is my word, so arrogant to think that we know history. I mean, the creator of the universe creates it. He knows beginning from end. And yet we go into this life thinking, or I don't know about go into it, but we grow into this life thinking that we know what history is, and we want to be on the right side of history. So therefore, our view matters, and we prioritize history according to the way that we view it. That's a little more poignant to our topic of priority. Here's another one on desciencing of American medicine. Now, there's a lot on health and medicine here because, you know, let's face it, that's what it's about, is helping people stay healthy and then taking care of each other in a community way through the MediShare properties. So that's just one little topic, one little book I got, and all the topics associated that indicate what priorities may be for people. You can scan the news today, and it's a little disconcerting, isn't it? I mean, there are issues out there. Boy, everybody. I was reaching for my laptop. I'm not even going to go there. You all know what they are. If we immerse ourselves in the priorities of the media, we tend to go with the wind. The wind. I'm sorry. This picture just came up. We can think of it scripturally. You know, we don't want to be blown about by the wind. And what does that conjure up for you as far as an image? A boat with a sail on it, and that wind slacks. There is no wind. The boat sits there, so you got to pull out the oars, or maybe you got to fire up the little motor if you happen to have one. Let's say you don't have one. All you've got is a sail. So now you're praying for wind. Well, here's another wind. The more I speak rather than listen to the Father, maybe I'm full of a hot air. Maybe I'm blowing more wind. Now, I'm not going to go to the other natural assumption that or condition that people would talk to, and that would have more to do with eating beans and a different kind of wind. So we're not going to go there. That could get pretty graphic and gross, and so I don't want to do that to you or myself. But think about that. If the wind is blowing by the media and we get sucked up in that vortex of blah, blah, you know what I mean by blah, blah? You know, the talking heads that can take news that would fit a 15-minute segment and turn it into something that lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and repeat it ad nauseum until some other breaking news comes into play. Hurricane JoJo, and I'm making stuff up here as far as names, but the whirlwind around the corner, we're going to name it Bob. There was a whirlwind of dust that came around the corner. Whirlwind Bob, breaking news. So we listen to that. Boy, I even struggle for the right adjectives. The unimportant, let me just say it that way, how the vast majority of information is unimportant coming over the airwaves. Now, some of you may be saying, Gus, I'm already tuning you out because it doesn't sound so important. But, hey, you know, that's all right because this is a conversation. Sometimes it's a one-way conversation. Sometimes it grows. But we think about what the media says to us and how in priorities, if we align ourselves with the priority of, oh, I don't know, the priority of what liberal America, because I want to say that the news waves are mainly controlled by liberal America. Now, there are conservative shows, KSLM in Salem, great example. Less progressive, let's call it. But then again, do we want to just immerse ourselves in the gloom and doom of the world's coming to an end? Not that all conservative stations and commentators talk that way. No, we have to do searching ourselves. So, you know, I've got this guest that just showed up. You might know him. His name, Rollin.
Oh, hey, man, gosh. How are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
I'm worried about you, man.
Are you?
Speaking of priorities, it's my priority to come here today and actually be on the radio with the wise guys.
Well, you know, I can tell because you sent me texts, you called, you tried to call. I was busy doing other things to get myself ready. See, let's describe this picture a little bit to you folks.
All right.
So normally, Rollin is sitting on my side of the board where I am today. So he's got all the buttons and lights and mouses and keyboard. I mean, it's, you know, it's just techno. You know, if you're a technology person, this is a great place to sit. Rollin sits over here and somehow makes it all work. And today he's sitting over where I sit, and so we're a little confused.
Well, that's because I couldn't make my life work this morning, okay?
You couldn't?
No.
Why? What were your priorities?
Well, the priority was to get the cars all working because my wife was going into work, I was going to work, and we were majorly snowed in.
Really? Define majorly. Come on. You're talking to a guy from Minnesota.
I know, but I happen to have this little Honda Civic that is a little bit small and a little bit light and a little bit bald on the tires. So guess what? It could not make it up the hill, and it could not make it down the hill.
I'm sorry. You just described me. A little ball, a little, okay.
Nothing was going up and going down.
So it was slippery up there.
Very slippery with a lot of snow, and the car wasn't going anywhere. And so I wanted to give my wife the other vehicle and had to get that thing set up. And then I found myself just banging the pavement as I started coming in. But since I was still driving the little small Honda Civic, I had to keep my chains on for a while because I was just kind of flying all over the road.
Oh,
so,
you put chains on?
I did.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Well, I told you, the tires are bald. It's a light car. I mean, can't go anywhere. And so, yeah, it was very embarrassing because I'm usually used to just driving in with no problem, right? But not this morning. So, therefore, I'm a little bit late and missed my priority of being on the Wise Guys show, you know?
Well, you know, that just brings up a very interesting point. If something happens, do we need to shift our priorities or should we just, you know, train on the tracks? I got to get there. I got to keep going straight forward. I'm going to walk down if I have to, or I'm going to drive with those bald tires and not put my chains on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, is a priority, you know, to just get here because I like being with you, you know, and Rick's gone, you know, and it's, you know, it's this whole time of going, I
got to wipe the tears away from my eyes.
I can't miss the wise guy time, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, honestly, I'm the one that's usually gone, you know, because of travel or work or whatever. And I don't know, I probably miss having the past 10, 15 segments a year. Conversations.
So how'd you do this morning? I mean, you're all by yourself. Don't want to live.
It was very, very lonely. I sat here all by myself. No, actually, you know, the creator's great.
I know he is.
We ask him for direction, and then we ramble on whether we're listening to ourselves or others are as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this topic of priorities. How do we set our priorities? How do we understand what the creator of the universe wants us to be doing from his prioritization? We started off, I don't know if you had a chance to listen, because I don't know if your Honda has a web-based thing in it. Yeah, never mind. No, most cars don't. I read out of Luke 12, 22 through 34.
I love Luke 12.
And I kind of dissected on the very surface level, talking about priorities, also talking about this list, and I'm going to repeat it again, and we'll go a little faster this time.
Sure.
So according to the World Economic Forum, 31,000 people across 186 countries were polled. That was the millennials, 18 to 35, working backwards, 10 to number one, lack of economic opportunity, number 10. Number nine, safety. Number eight, lack of education. Number seven, food and water. Number six, government. I was surprised that that came in more important than food and water. Number five, religious conflicts, whatever that means. Number four, poverty. Number three, inequality. We got to be fair. Number two, large-scale conflicts. And number one, any guess, Ron?
This is millennials.
Yes.
iPhone.
You experienced an aspect of it today.
Getting lost.
Climate change.
This isn't climate change. It's like a couple weeks later. I mean, typically we always have snow in Oregon, but, you know, this one just came a little later.
No, this is climate change. Everything is climate change. The reason you have bald tires, climate change. You know, and all right, let's look at the science. Yeah, climate does change, right?
Yeah.
It isn't something that we have changed ourselves. Do we contribute? Perhaps. But it's a cycle. It's something that's been going on for millennia. So come on, people, get over yourselves here. So look at that list. Climate change is our number one problem, above safety, above food. Really? So are they willing to give up food, those people that answered this poll, those 50%?
Well, I'm almost wondering if their priority is in the wrong spot.
That's kind of the question here, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think if we focus on this particular priority of government, food, money, jobs, careers, is our priority in the wrong spot? I'm drawn to this other thing. Well, I love what you're reading here. Okay, which is what, Luke 12, 4? Were you on 4?
Well, I wasn't on 4. Go there. I was on 22 through 34.
I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he is killed has authority to cast out hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear whom?
Him.
Him, Yahweh, God. So when I look back at this, and this is Yeshua saying, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid. You know, so when I look at the worries that millennials have and we all have, I mean, those seem minuscule because that's not the important things to be worried from. That shouldn't be on our priority list.
Why?
Because our priority should be straight up to God, Yahweh. He's the one that we should be fearing, respecting, looking after, and letting him guide our paths.
Roland, there are people that are starving out there. Is that feeding them, looking up to God?
Yeah.
How?
Because
wait a minute.
If I set my priority straight with him, he will direct my paths. He will open up doors. He will open up the floodgates. And if I have to have money to feed the poor, he'll provide that. To me, that is absolutely wonderful. You know, just this last weekend at our fellowship, we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we make the ends meet? How are we going to figure out and make budgets work, right? And so our fear, or we thought our priority was finances.
Money, yeah.
And guess what? Someone just happened to drop in a very huge, large check. And those fears that we thought we had kind of dissipated. They went away. And we had to learn a very valuable lesson. The lesson was this. Fear Yahweh. If this is his doing, he has things under control. Okay, so I just find it fascinating that he reminds us of this when we look in the text. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more value than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him also before the angels of God. I think our priority needs to get away from the worldly things of life and start getting ourselves lined up with the Creator that made us.
Do you think that people get confused about what worldly is? I mean, we do need to eat, right? We can't go without food.
Absolutely.
We can't go without water or shelter. We got to have those things.
You're totally right.
Yeah. So maybe it's that people get so focused on that, and the evil one, Hasatan, the deceiver, uses that to take the focus off of the Creator of the universe and off of eternity.
Sure. He likes to lie to us.
Why does he like to do that? Come on. That's not fair.
Correct. It's not fair. But he's doing everything he can to separate us from the Father. He's doing everything to separate us from our families. He's doing everything to separate us from those that we truly love and seek after. So why not make us worried about government and money and cell phones and food? And it's a priority that's, I think, lost underneath the weight of something bigger.
Are people really worried about their cell phones?
Yeah. There was a study. I don't have it in front of me, but the millennials, if they said that they went without their cell phone for 24 hours, they would literally die. Wow. I mean, they thought that they could actually have a heart attack.
You know, I don't doubt that by their thinking they could. Now, I think there's also, and we can't single out the millennials, right?
No.
Because I know there are so many people that the minute they get up, they turn right to the phone. In fact, there was a statistic, and I'm not going to get it exactly right. My wife quoted it to me, I think, the other day, where it was like within the first minute and 47 seconds, everybody looks at their phone.
Yeah.
Or the majority of people, I should say.
Yeah, I was doing it today as I was driving in trying to contact
you. Wait a minute. Were you safe? Was that hands-free? How did you do that?
Yeah, it was hands-free.
Well, that's right. You were only going 6.5 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was going. Chains on.
For those of you that don't live in snowy climes, for instance, I've been talking to a bunch of people in Puerto Rico. We're doing some hiring down there.
Yeah.
And they say, no, I've never seen snow, never been in it.
Really?
What's it like? Well, it's slippery. It's cold.
It's cold, wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, my jeans are still wet from having to get on my knees to put the chains on and off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of disrupting.
It does change your priorities.
Yeah. Like, I should have had a priority of making sure there was something in the car that I could kneel on. I mean, that would have been a really good priority.
Oh, that just struck a chord. Okay, so if we are reacting to things, acute situations, for instance, my tires are bald, I got snow outside, I got to put chains on, that takes our priorities away from what Yahweh wants, maybe our priorities that as we're trying to line them up, rather than, and I'm going to call you out here, buddy.
Okay.
If you had tires that had tread. Just saying.
Yeah, it would have helped. But I just wasn't expecting snow in February, okay?
Yeah. Oh, and that fits right into what we're talking about. Oh, my gosh. Now, we're going to run out of time here in just a heartbeat, but not expecting. So maybe we have to have different expectations. Maybe we need to be planning ahead in this whole prioritization thing of life.
We do need to plan ahead, but I thought you were going to go to the other thing. Here I was putting on my chains down on my knees.
Oh.
Okay.
I like that, too. Yeah.
So if I can't figure out, maybe I didn't plan ahead, maybe I didn't do that, and I have to be on my knees, and I have to think about this text that you brought up like in Luke, okay, which is, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet one of them, not one of them is forgotten, okay? So, and also there's other verses called the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It doesn't mean I shouldn't prepare. Duh, I should have tires on, okay, with proper tread.
What prevents us from preparing?
Procrastination or not putting it on the priority list?
Oh, yeah. As we get ready to close out here, we're going to have to bring that back up.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Nation, His kingdom, His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and what a blessing it is to be here in the morning with Gus, the man who's just at the helm. Thank you, man. It was just totally awesome.
Well, I don't know about the awesome part. It was maybe tolerable, I hope, at the very least.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, you're a wise guy. You're okay.
So speaking of priorities, oh, no, we weren't. But let's go back to priorities. So
yeah.
Just before the break, we were talking about expectations and getting ready and preparing. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about something. When a bunch of P words came up.
Yeah.
That sounded like a train whistle. Where'd that come from? That was your phone asking for us to prioritize it over this. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so anyway, when I try to make things perfect, okay, let that sink in. This has got to be perfect. I can't move forward until whatever I'm working on is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That causes me to be a little procrastinate a little bit. So perfectionism can lead to procrastination. And as I procrastinate and I don't have it done and the deadline's passing, and that leads to paralysis.
Hmm.
And I wonder if there's an attribute of this where, well, the reason I get my priorities mixed up is because I want to make it right. I want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be just right. And if I don't just step out sometimes in faith and start doing something, I lose the momentum and it never becomes a priority. It doesn't become action. What do you think?
I'm still thinking.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You're staring up at the ceiling. That's good.
Well, because this is a fabulous topic, because as a human being, I surround myself with many things that I perceive to be priority.
Like what?
Maybe it's a speech that I have to give to a group of people. Maybe it's the amount of money I have to save. Maybe it's getting my taxes done on time. Those things we all have to do on time and on a regular basis.
Good examples.
Okay. So if I have to think of that, but still I should have one priority. Let's go ahead and think about this for a minute. What would you say Yeshua's priority was when he came to earth? Jesus, what was his priority?
His priority was to do what the Father told him to do, to be completely obedient.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's a meta kind of a approach to it, right? Overarching.
I think you're right on track, because notice when Yeshua goes into the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
you would think his priority would be food.
Food, water, shelter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Satan comes and he tries to knock him down, right? So let me read you his words.
Oh,
all right?
Good, yeah.
And there's just a couple of them, because they're not very big. Yeshua, Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." His priority, even though Satan was giving him all kinds of things, hey, Jesus, Yeshua, you can have all these kingdoms, they're yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you just bow down and worship me, if you get all mixed up and you decide that you're really busy today,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or if you just go ahead and if your priority is to save this world, well, then worship me. If your priority is to change stones into bread, well, then worship me. But every time Yeshua points him a different way, he points him and says, hey, you're supposed to serve the Lord your God first. That's your biggest priority. So be gone with you. And this is where I'm going to be. That was read in Matthew 4:10. And you can read that before he even gets on the Sermon of the Mount. And on the Sermon of the Mount, he even goes on and gives more priorities. He talks about blessings and who to serve first. And then we get our priorities straight. So, you know, we always talk about the horse before the cart and the cart before the horse, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking when it comes to priorities, we got to get one priority really straight first.
Faith?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to worship God first, Yahweh first, Elohim, the maker of this universe. I'm going to worship him first. And I'm going to put myself in front of him. You know, he's made us a priority. Did you know that?
Wait a minute. He made us a priority.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, you should probably know that from your favorite book of the Bible.
Bereshit? Genesis? Oh, goody, goody. I'm jumping up and down. How did he make us a priority?
Well, let me give you a hint. Even in the New Testament, okay, let me pull this up here for you, which is just amazing to me. This is found in Ephesians. Okay? Blessed be the God and Father. Okay?
Okay,
the Elohim.
Where are you now?
This is Ephesians 1. Okay? This is Paul writing. Blessed be Elohim. He's the Father of the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wait.
Every
spiritual blessings.
Where?
In the heavenly places.
Heavenly places.
Just as he chose us in the Messiah before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through the Messiah.
That sounds like he feels we're pretty important to him.
He made us a priority.
Huh.
So I think what's so amazing is that when we think about being a priority, we can in turn look to him as a priority because he's our creator. He's the one who's given us every spiritual blessing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, so if I'm down on my knees trying to put a chain on my tire, I'm having to make him a priority, saying, okay, Father, you know I'm in a hurry. I don't want to leave Gus all by himself there at the radio station. I need to get this change on, and the chains weren't coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even coming off. So what did I come to a conclusion of? Well, Gus was supposed to be there by himself for a reason. He had something to say, and the Father had something to say through him. And so I need to have faith that Gus is all right, and I'm going to pull in. And everything will still be fine because it's your conversation.
Exactly. It's his conversation, not ours.
Right. The Wise Guys is about a conversation that we have together as a group as we've put our faith and trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leads our paths as we talk with everyone that's listening.
And that doesn't mean that, well, you know, we're always just absolutely right on. We know what's going to happen. We aren't anxious about it. I had a little modified stationary panic this morning where I turned in circles like a quail and went, oh, man, I got to do this. Now, also to add complexity to it, since we've come back to the radio studio here, we've got different controls and different things. So I had to dig out instructions. So I was a little bit concerned.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But the Lord blessed you.
Amen.
See, and there is a blessing that must have been happening. And if you want to tell us anything that's like on your heart, you can do that by calling in at
503-589-1220.
Mm-hmm. We'll repeat it again,
503-589-1220. Or if you're not listening live, the number 3 Wise Guys at
HebrewNation.net.
Net. Dot net.
And you can talk to us about maybe how you're learning to make Yahweh a priority, how you're learning to make him first in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had other priorities within your life that you're trying to get straight, and you're going, hey, you know, tried that.
Been there, done that? Isn't
been
that
there,
what the
done
saying
that.
Is? Didn't really work out.
Didn't work out.
Not so much.
You know what's amazing is that if we make him a priority, all the other priorities seem to fall in line.
Yeah, they do. Now, that doesn't mean we aren't going to have troubles, right?
Correct. But why would he provide us with troubles?
Why would he provide us with troubles?
Yeah.
Huh. What happens when we go through troubles? I guess I'd have to answer it by asking another question.
Well, did you grow at all this morning learning how to handle the board?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so was the trouble beneficial for you?
My hair didn't grow. It fell out. But yeah, it definitely was beneficial.
Yeah.
Well, and let me ask the same question. Did you benefit by having to put those chains on because they were different than other ones you've ever put on?
Oh, it drives me insane. Okay.
So there's another benefit. It drove you insane.
Yeah. But I had to learn to put on a different type of chain, just like you were having to learn how to put on a different type of mixing board.
Uh-huh.
So we are both growing and we are both benefiting.
Yep. That's that whole trial by fire that makes us refined and get better.
Yeah.
But that hurts.
It does.
It's uncomfortable.
Sure.
We might get embarrassed.
Absolutely.
Oh, darn. Okay. Bring it on, Yahweh.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
But if we've made him the priority, he brings us these other things in our lives. We start to learn how to deal with those things in our lives and maybe learn that, hey, we do need to prepare in other areas. What about preparing people for the kingdom? Do we ever think about that?
It is so amazing you brought that up. Here's a saying. Here's a word that maybe fits in.
Okay.
But seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Where did you find that?
I just happened to find it on my little smartphone. Here's, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in the Bible, Matthew 6:33.
Oh, I love Matthew.
And that was the English Standard Version that I read from there.
Say that again, would you?
Sure.
Yeah.
But seek first the kingdom of Elohim, of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
So the very first thing again, he's reminding us. Even he was the example. He said it in our words. It's in his words, actually. He said, hey, Satan, be gone. You got to worship God first. And then he tells us, seek the kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
What?
I wonder what would happen to fellowships and groups if everyone was concerned about the kingdom, you know, rather than just their own little pet thing.
Okay, well, so let's explore that. The kingdom. What is the kingdom?
The kingdom would be his priority.
I don't know that I've ever looked at it that way. I've always looked at it like, it's eternity. It's his people. But you're right. It would be his priority, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you're the one who brought the topic up.
Well, obviously it wasn't me. Because I think of priority and I think of eternity, and doesn't our priority end up being temporal? You know, here on earth, you know, I got anywhere between, I don't know, call it 2 seconds and 108 years to live. And somewhere in that stretch, I've got to stay alive and I've got to do the things that my creator wants me to do. Well, he's supposed to keep me alive, so maybe I shouldn't be so focused on that aspect.
Yeah, we're always thinking, okay, the things that he wants us to do, we have to live, and we start thinking of all the things that he might want us to do. He wants us to be good. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to have a career. He wants us to have a happy marriage. He wants us to raise up good kids. These are all the things that we think that he wants us to do.
He wants us to be missionaries in Umbikwa, Kenya. He wants us to start an orphanage. He wants us to preach. He wants us to teach. Those kind of things.
Right. But we never really think about seeking the king, the kingdom. Last Sabbath, I was talking with the group about his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So remember, the apostles are saying to him, Jesus, Yeshua, teach us how to pray like John the Baptist's disciples all learned how to pray. We want some of that. Show us how to pray. Now, they should know how to pray.
Sure.
I mean, they're a bunch of good Hebrew boys, right?
Right.
So they should know how to pray, but they wanted something more. And Jesus, Yeshua would have said to them, well, you know, you can pray about your needs and about the things you need to make a priority. But he sets the priority up again. When I looked up the word pray in Hebrew, it was palal, okay?
Palal.
Yeah, and it was something about falling down as coming and approaching a king. On our knees, face down. And you're seeking his kingdom because I'm this person outside of this kingdom. I come into this throne room, and how would I approach the throne room if he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of everything, creator of the universe? And Yeshua tells his disciples, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Elohim, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy name is salvation. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So if I make my priority his kingdom, then that's what I've done. I have a call that's coming in. Let's go ahead and see if we can bring him up. Whoops, did I get him? Hey, call on back, you guys. I just missed you, okay? So dial back in at
503-589-1220.
I had a call that just came in, and the line dropped to you, so don't be discouraged. Please call back in. We'd love to hear from you. Call back in at 503-589-1220. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. We were going to do it in tandem.
Yeah, we were.
I was going to do stereo.
But I'm so excited about that prayer because then again, he set us up on the priority. Mm-hmm. And the priority is salvation is in his name. And salvation
in
is
Yeshua's name.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And even the Yod Heh Vav Heh, remember that outstretched hand, behold the nail, mm-hmm. your salvation. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what it means.
Oh, and then the Ahaya, Asher Ahaya, you know, Yod Heh Vav Heh.
Yeah.
That's. I that always have been will be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's eternity. That's kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if I'm looking at that and setting up that everything happens, it's later that all the other things that goes lead us not into temptation. Okay. So if I come before the king and I recognize that this is his kingdom and not mine, then everything falls into place. If he created me first, like in Ephesians, if he thought that I'm a priority, all right, mm-hmm. if he thinks that I'm a priority, wouldn't he know what is best for me to do? Let's see if we can bring this person back up again. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Who am I talking to, and what's your question or comment for us?
Well, I thought Gus was operating the board, but I got this other handsome voice, so I guess I'll talk to you too.
All right. How are you, man?
I am very well blessed. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Hey, so we're talking about priorities. What do you think about that topic? And evidently you've been listening, so let's hear what you got.
Well, you're talking about millennials, right?
Well, we were at the first half hour. Yeah, we were making fun of them and us, so it's okay.
Well, that's all right, because, you know, we pretend to be millennials, you know, because if we're getting older, you know, I'm pushing 60, and your guys are probably pushing 50 or so.
No, 60.
So, anyways, you hit something on the head just a while back. What are we making priorities?
Mm-hmm.
Our smartphones, our tablets, our everything else is making a priority. With everybody with the news and things like this.
Sure.
They're not making God a priority. And when they get introduced to something, they forget what the priority is all about. Like I said, I can't be away from my phone for 24 hours. It would drive me crazy.
Right.
Or if the internet's down for 24 hours, it's going to drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we forget the priorities. We forget to wake up in the morning to spend our time with Yahweh.
Yeah, we actually forget to get down on our hands and knees and recognize this is his kingdom and it's not ours.
Well, and I hear Kenny also exactly. saying,
yeah.
Isn't it David that says getting up in the morning, that's where he's starting off his day with Yahweh?
Sure.
I want to say it's David, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yeah, wake up in the morning. This is the life that you created. So, Father, here's my life. This is your world that you created. I recognize your kingdom. And help me to walk in the path that you want me to walk in. Okay, so, and if he cares about us, and we just read that, we read it in Luke, we read it in Matthew, and he says, I count the hairs on your head, I know what you need. And in Ephesians, he said, I made you even before the foundations of this earth to have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I've given you strength to walk out. Thank you for coming before me. Guess what? I'm going to take care of your needs today. Walk in it.
Exactly. You know, and because I know I've made, to me, I make my television my priority.
Hmm.
I hate it with a passion. It's so addictive. I do. But yet it's like, okay, I need to sit down and spend time with God. But what do? I'll sit and watch that stinking TV and not spend my time to be able to praise Yahweh for the days that he's blessed me with.
Hey, well, Kenny, do you have a shotgun? It's really fun to shoot up a TV. I don't know. You ever done it?
Don't try this at home.
No, I don't have a shotgun, but I do have something else that's a little bit smaller that might just do the same type of damage.
Okay, well, I'm going to take the other side of this. Just like the internet can be full of all sorts of garbage and gunk and gook, mm-hmm. it also has a whole bunch of good truth on it. Just like the TV, if we're very selective and we prioritize those programs that contain mostly or elements of truth or mm-hmm. direct us back towards Yahweh, okay, it can be a good thing, can it?
Sure.
What sure do you can. Sure can.
Really?
I have. Yeah, I think so. But it's got to be a priority where we're at.
Okay.
So now I'm going to throw something out there that hopefully you guys are sitting down and you're buckled up into your chairs.
Okay. Hold on. Hey, Gus, you got your seatbelt on?
Click, click. Okay, we're ready.
Suck it in, buddy.
And whoever else is listening on the radio station, please be prepared.
All right.
Okay, because I believe truly on the internet, so widely accessible is pornography.
Well, yeah.
I struggle with that the hardest. And that takes away from the priority. When they look at the pornography, they're so bound up into that and feeling shame, even though they love Yahweh, even though they do this.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a priority. And that's tough.
It's very, very tough. But I mean, guy, if I was Satan, that'd probably be the first thing I'd put on the internet.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, we've got the creator, right? We're better to attack than at creation.
Absolutely.
I would suggest that there's financial porn, there's material porn, there's ego porn. I mean, use that word, which we don't like, but really anything that takes a place of Yahweh.
Exactly. And what point and that makes it a priority because men get so addicted to it and women are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to be that point.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Very good point.
I had to bring that up because that's been kind of,
No, it is.
It is a class. Oh, I'm sorry.
Kenny, I was reading a portion of this book here the other day and there's a great example. And let me see if I can get it to you straight. You ever remember when you're back in school and the teacher says to all the kids, and maybe you're in third or fourth grade, and the teacher says, what do you guys all want to be when you grow up? Okay? And everyone raises their hands. Oh, I want to be a fireman. Oh, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a teacher. Okay? And everyone's really happy, right? And no one's raising their hand going, I want to be a prostitute. I want to be a stripper. I want to be a murderer. I want to be a thief. None of those things are actually raised. I mean, no one raises their hands back when they're little. Okay, so Satan comes in and he sees all this happiness and he wants to take away our identity. He wants to take away our priority. Yeah, and he wants to take away our priority. Yep, and our priority and our identity is found only in the maker that created us. So as we get older, he keeps on chinking away at us, okay? Let's go ahead and make you discouraged through loss of finances. Let's see if I can get you at your very core where you had the biggest weakness, okay? And maybe your weakness is in the flesh. Maybe you do like looking at women or women like looking at men. So he says, well, let's go ahead and take this a step further and bring porn within your life. And let's just make you not want to look at a woman in a proper way anymore. Let's demean her and let's put her down and let's do these things. Okay. And pretty soon our attitudes start to change and we start getting negative and we start getting discouraged,
angry,
because our spirit is wrestling with ourselves, going, hey,
exactly.
I don't want to look at this, but I am. So now I'm angry, right?
Yeah. And who gets the blunt of that? Your wife and your children and everybody else that's involved.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate you, man.
Hang on.
So the Torah is connected with blessings, not salvation. That's the biggest misunderstanding.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey.
That was fun.
I thought I'd give you the priority there. Welcome back to the Three Wise Guys. We were having a conversation on priority.
Yeah.
And we've got Kenny on the line, and he had another point he wanted to bring up that he had started to get into just before the break. And Kenny, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Excellent. Stay close to the phone so we can really hear you.
Go ahead.
All right. Is that better, or do I need to take off my Bluetooth? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's good. You're good.
Good. You know, with the pornography and things like this, Ted Roberts in Pure Desires and the Conquering series, it really helps to be able to focus on what's been going on in your life growing up as a kid. And pornography is just not about the sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. It's about the wounds that we've had in our lives.
Absolutely.
To be able to mask that, to medicate it ourselves instead of truly going to Yahweh. That's what I love about the Conquer series. This is what I love about the Pure Desires.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I love about the Pillars group, because let's push in really, and trust me, it's hard for me to do that because I've had enough time where I've been taken away and men have done things to me that I'm not proud of, but able to talk to God, to be able to talk to other men in this group, to be able to make this step better and each and every time. And I'll tell you what, when you go through this, it's hard. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Praise God. My marriage is getting so much better, so much stronger.
Yeah,
what I love about the Pure Desires.
Yeah, what you're talking about is actually true. We've had to work with a number of people in this area, and even I think you've heard the words of Cole Davis within this area, in that most of the time people go in this constant circle of guilt because they're handling the pornography and they're thinking that's the real issue, but many times it's not. It's usually an outproduct of something else that deep seated in that body, in that frame of mind, in that thinking that hasn't been handed over to the kingdom, that hasn't been given to Father. And, make it a priority. Yeah, so we're going to do our best to actually see if we can find this guy. Ted who?
Roberts.
Ted Roberts. So we'll do our best to bring him on. And I want to thank you for calling in, and I appreciate your comments, and blessings on you, brother.
We do.
Shalom.
Shalom. You guys are amazing. May Yahweh continue to bless you both.
May God bless you. Shalom, man.
Yep.
Shalom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What you think, Gus?
You know, there are no coincidences, and Kenny brought up purity for a reason, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You happen to know off the top of your head the Hebrew word
for pure? Oh, I thought you were going to give me the Hebrew root for priority, but you're giving the Hebrew root for pure. I don't.
Think of it in terms of mixing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, tahor, which is clean. Teme, unclean. Tahor, clean.
Wow.
So, it's pure. So, if we're seeking purity, which we should be doing, do you equate that with righteousness? Does that become a priority so that the purity of our search for Yahweh's priorities are kingdom-minded?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when you say that is I need to be clean before Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Since he created me, since he knew me, since this is his kingdom, I can be honest with him, can't I?
Absolutely.
Can't I come clean with him and say, you know, hey, here's my life. Clean me up. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where is it? Romans? I'm going to have to look it up, but where he says, it's got to be Romans 12. I'm going to turn there while I'm trying to recount it from memory, but don't hold to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going there?
I do.
Okay, so along the lines of mixing, he doesn't want us to mix the holy and the profane. He wants us to be on the tahor, or the pure side, rather than on the tameh, the impure side.
Therefore, this is 12:1 in Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of Elohim's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because then, oh my goodness, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, what God's priority is, his good, pleasing, and perfect priority or will.
His will, his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think if we seek his kingdom first, seek his will first, these other things will start to pass away. If I'm presenting my body as a sacrifice, mm-hmm. I'm going, here it is. It's all messed up. Okay? It's dirty. Mm-hmm. Can't get my priorities in line. I feel guilty. I feel shame. Here it is, Father. Take it. And if I come before him and I follow that prayer that he gave us, our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thy priorities be done.
Yeah. And then walk the walk. You know, and the walk doesn't mean, okay, now I'm going to be good. Okay. He's still going to work with you. He's going to clean you up. But look at what Jesus said to his disciples. Okay. I love this. This is in John 4. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? So let's put it into Gus and Roland Revised Standard Version.
Okay.
Jesus passed by, and he sees a man in sin that's blind. He can't see anything else around him but pornography. Okay? And his disciples say to him, Rabbi, you know, why is this man stuck with porno? Is it his parents' problem? Did it come down from generations? Jesus answers, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Okay, so I'm blind or I'm stuck with a sin that I'm addicted to. Now God's work is going to be displayed in him. How? By the renewing of his mind, by what you just said. Mm-hmm. He's going to perform a miracle that everyone will see, mm-hmm. and that you will see. Mm-hmm. Even when the kids were coming out of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Okay? He told Moses, get out of the way, because everyone's going to see how great I am. All right? In the same way, when we have sinned our life, he's saying, get out of the way, bow before me, and see how great I am.
Go ahead.
Now look at the next verse. He says to his disciples, we must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night's coming when no man can work. Right now we're in daytime. We're in this.
It's time to work.
He hasn't come yet, but he's coming. And so what's our priority? His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the priority.
You know, I think you used a word there that I want to expound upon. You know, people... The Egyptians, the Israelites, everyone will see how great I am. And that word great, I think of essential, how essential I am. So if Yahweh is not essential, if he's not a priority, and by the way, do you know what the etymology of priority, the word is?
No, tell
me.
It's
kind of interesting because it reminds me of teshuvah or repentance.
Okay.
Turning from what's bad and going back to what is correct and right. So it's a two-part situation. So it's a late Middle English word that came from the old French, from medieval Latin.
Okay.
And Latin is prior or former. Turn from whatever garbage you're looking at now and go to the former, the good, the teshuva.
Oh, wow.
Go back to what's right. Now, I've expanded on that, but still.
Okay. That's the word prior?
Prior. That's where it came from, the Latin prior or former.
Priority is from prior.
Yep.
So priority is from prior, and prior is, say it again.
Well, that was the GSV, the Gus Standard Version.
Okay.
So,
no, I'll take it.
Basically, it's think of it as repentance. Turn from what you're doing now that isn't lined up with the creator of the universe, with his priorities. Turn from that and turn back to the prior thing, which is him. He's been here from the beginning. He's always the prior.
In the beginning was
the Word.
The Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
My word.
Oh, his word.
Oh, his word. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Okay, so you're a person out there and you're going, all right, these guys are speaking in all these, you know, biblical terms. And so for those people listening that are used to that and have been steeped in whether it's Christianity or the Hebrewness or the combination of both in the Bible, what about for those folks that aren't? Maybe somebody's listening that's going, you know, I don't know if I'm buying into this kind of stuff. How do we make this practical, Roland? Really practical.
If you aren't liking the direction of where this earth is headed, and you're seeing the chaos around you, and I've heard non-Christians and Christians and atheists all agree to one thing.
What's that?
Is there any sanity anymore? Is anyone thinking anymore? How do I converse? And if you're watching this happen around you, then the practicality is there has to be something better. And there is a God who says, I am life, I am love, I created you, and I've got great things in store for you. That to me sounds better. That to me sounds pretty practical. And I think if I start making it a priority to get to know him, my mind might start changing.
Maybe our priority, this just occurred to me, our priorities need to quit being ourselves. You know, I know what's best. I want the climate change to get better. Sure, there's an element of we can be the change we want to see.
Yeah.
But how, I'll use the term arrogant again. I used it earlier. How arrogant are we that I can change global warming or stop wars or stop all poverty? That doesn't stop me from action. That would be an excuse. But it's him. He's the one. If I get out of the way, if I quit focusing on myself as the priority.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know what, Roland? I've heard this just the other night. My wife and I were looking into this group that helps people survive, truly survive withdrawal from benzodiazepines. There are things like Valium and other drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pharmaceutical and medical establishment has said, hey, just take them. It's no problem. Not going to hurt you. Well, come to find out through years of experience that if you go cold turkey, it can kill you.
Yeah.
It's not just bad. And then there are all these withdrawals. Anyway, point being that if you look at the people that are going through these terrible, terrible symptoms, they're reaching out to one another and they're supporting one another. And it takes the focus off of themselves. And guess what? They get through it. Eventually they heal.
Yeah.
I take the focus off of myself. Hey, if I'd have been driving by and I see this guy, it's in the snow and it's dark and he's got these chains and he looks a little confused, I'd pull over and help him. Even though I had something I had to get to, I'd prioritize the human being over my schedule, maybe.
Oh, you're getting me going on some stuff here.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to bring this up here just for a second. And I think it'll pull up in a minute because we're still talking about priorities. And you talked about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's this book that's written. Okay. And it's in the book of Hebrews. Okay. Now Hebrews, I find that it's fascinating because Hebrews, the word Hebrew means a person that crosses over. And in fact, Abraham was called the first Hebrew.
Right. The people who reveal the Son.
Right. Okay. And so, and Abraham's life was filled about this search for truth, right? That's why he was called righteous, because he put his things aside and he said, you know, where is the Father? I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a couple things at the end of Hebrews 10. There's four instructions that Paul or whoever the writer was within Hebrews was. So after he gets done telling us about that Yeshua is our high priest, that he's the one that heals us, he gives four practical steps for people outside of that spiritual life.
Okay.
Here's the four. Hold fast to your confession of hope. Hold fast to your confession of hope. That means we're not going to stop hoping. Like Abraham, he moved out in faith. He held fast to his faith walk. So Paul reminds us, hold fast. Don't give up. Then there's a second one that he gives us. He says, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That means if we look around us, like you were just saying, and look for those people that need help and assistance, love one another.
Mm-hmm. Third one, he says, assemble together and encourage one another. I find that fascinating that he tells us, he gives the order to come together as a group and assemble and encourage one and every person that's there. And then the fourth one, and that's it. He says, stop sinning willfully. Mm-hmm. Now, willfully means I'm going to put aside the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, and I'm going to say, you know what? That Bible stuff and God's stupid. I'm just going to keep on doing this. So he's telling us four practical steps. So if you're new to the faith, those are, I think, four things that you can hang on to. So read Hebrews 10. Read how the Messiah is your high priest, and he intercedes for you in this kingdom of God. So if I'm on my knees praying to him and I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, there's an intercessor, and that's the whole point of the Messiah. The Messiah came, he died for you and for me, and he says, now because I died, my blood gives you salvation, and I'm going to intercede for you in the kingdom of God. Okay? And that's what Hebrews is all about. And they do that, and then the writer says, here's four things. Hold fast. Hold fast. Love one another. Assemble together. And what's the final one? You remember?
Nope. I'm so wrapped up in what you're saying.
Stop sinning.
Willfully.
Willfully.
And I had a point on that. You know, you mentioned that, well, you know, you forget God, you walk away from the Bible, and you sin willfully. Is it maybe a little more insidious if we don't walk away from the Bible, we don't forget God, but we just say, I know you're there, and I want to follow you, and then you still sin? That seems a little bit...
Yeah, sin actually means falling short of the glory of God. It's falling short of the mark. Okay, so there's no real word that describes sin other than that.
Well, the description that, who is it, James has?
Yeah.
What's he say? What is it, James, 1 John 3:4, is it?
Okay.
I can't remember, but sin is transgression of his instructions.
His instructions.
Doing his priorities.
Right, okay. And we know that most of us will fall short at many times, mm-hmm. okay? But then that's why he said, I came to save you mm-hmm. from yourself. So not only did he think of us before creation, he thought of us during creation, and that's the purpose of his son, and he's dying for us. We have no reason not to seek his kingdom.
For all of creation afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Before, during, and after.
Exactly.
So Timothy put it real well, I thought.
Okay.
And this is an easy one to remember for me because the numbers are 2:22.
Okay.
2 Timothy 2:22.
I love it.
Okay. So flee youthful passions. It's interesting that he puts youthful in there.
Huh.
Pursue righteousness. Okay. We've talked about that. Faith. We've talked about that. Love.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. Along with those who call on Yahweh from a pure heart. Our motives need to be pure on him. They need to be focused on him and not on ourselves and our own little pity parties.
Yeah, notice that Timothy is a book written to a young pastor. It's coming from Paul, and the books of Timothy have to do with a church or a fellowship. And he's telling young Timothy how to get everyone to get along with one another. All right? These are the instructions for a young fledgling church or fellowship. And I find it fascinating that even in a group, he's telling us the same instructions as he would tell us individually.
Grow up. Do the right thing. Stay consistent. Paul says, how often? Run the race.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you finish. Okay, yeah, you can run all pretty with your knees all a certain way, and hey, you got the latest racing gear on.
Nike.
But if you trip on your own feet and uh-huh. go, you know, do a nose plant in the tarmac on the guitar, guess what? You don't finish. Now your nose is all scraped up, your pretty yeah. outfit is all messed up, and you didn't even finish the race.
Oh, my word.
I want to finish the race.
I do. And I think the only way to finish the race is make him a priority. You know what? I mean, it's amazing to me. Because I think of this all the time because I'm a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many of the students that seek the coaching services, they make the coach the priority so they can succeed, even if I don't have to teach them anything. This was fascinating, and I'm learning that the more that I stop teaching and the more I just coach or sit there and let them find an answer, they do better. And so this girl's coming out for her sessions, and I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, okay, she needs to make a mistake so she can figure this out. And then I'm going to just ask her a question. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask them a question like, what do you think the position of your body was on that horse when you made that turn? Mm-hmm. And she stops and thinks. He goes, well, I wasn't using the left side of my body. I didn't pull back. And I said, awesome. So what did you learn? When I approach that barrel, when I'm getting ready to make a fast turn, I need to make an action a little bit quicker. Now, awesome. I'm here for you. I'm your mirror. I'm your coach. Okay? Do we make God such a priority that we allow him to be the coach of our life?
I mean, like that summary.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I'm thinking along that line, maybe we, going back to the race analogy, because I was thinking of a horse race when you were talking about horses. If we don't know what the goal is, how do we know how to run the race?
Well, that's it.
Right? I mean, if we don't know Yahweh's intention for us, if we don't know Yahweh, if we don't know the creator of the universe, we're going to flounder around. We're going to be blown about by the wind. And then we can set our priorities.
Yes. But when you brought up the race, that immediate picture to me said, here's a runner. He knows he has to get to the end of the goal line, right? He knows he has to win mm-hmm. the kingdom. Who's the person there who's encouraging him? The coach.
Yep.
Okay, so look at how wonderful the Bible lays this out. There's the kingdom of Yahweh, his kingdom that says, you have peace right over here. I'm giving you the coach. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, the rock. I've had someone that's even helped you get in shape for this. His name is the Messiah, Jesus, you know, Yeshua. He's the one that came into your life. He died for you. He set this course up. He gave you as an example so you can do this. I mean, the analyses just go on and on.
Yeah, it really does. And for those people that may not have that inkling yet, that are just being tugged, hey, what's going on? My life's miserable. I can't seem to get anything lined up. Maybe the place to start is looking up. You think?
I think.
I'm sure of it. And it's so hard for some people to get there because they're so focused on themselves that they aren't willing to give up that control.
I love the look up because, again, that's an analogy of your race. You ever watch the runners in their standing blocks?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking down. They're getting ready to push off. And as they push off, that head starts to go up. And then the coach tells them, you only look at the finish line. You don't look to the left. You don't look to the right. And you start pumping.
Yep.
Okay? And your arms and your legs are coordinated, and you look straight ahead.
Mm-hmm. Set your eyes on the goal.
And with horses, they actually wear blinders.
Yes.
Okay, so the horse can look just straight down the track.
Except for Seabiscuit. And he had to look at the other horses.
I know. I love Seabiscuit.
I know you do. You're a horse guy. You're like a Gene Autry singing on horses. I can see you doing that. Oh, boy. You know, this has been an interesting conversation, an interesting time. We've had all sorts of, I keep using the word interesting, different priorities pop up and change where we think things are going to go and hopefully line up more with where Yahweh thinks things should go.
Yeah. Maybe you want to write into us and tell us about your journey and maybe you something that you want us to cover. You can do that at the number 3.
Wise Guys.
At
HebrewNation.net. Yes.
And in the future, you can always put this phone down and call us during our conversation times. Yep. It's
503-589-1220. Yes. And this is a conversation. So we encourage you every Tuesday, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock Pacific time, tune in or on podcast anytime you'd like.
Check into Hebrew Nation online and you'll find out about us and you can share us with other people that you want to share these teachings with.
You can find us on player.fm. You can find us on Hebrew Nation online. Tune in or so many.
Light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.